Welcome to another episode of The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose. I am your producer, Knives Monroe. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to The Scalpel on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge and on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast. Thank you very much for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to The Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose with Knives in the Box. We're here today to cut down to the truth. We do that with history, with experience. That's our metaphoric scalpel. That's our metaphoric scalpel for cutting down to what is truth and what will help this nation move forward. Not faux truth, not pseudo truth, but actual truth that's supported by history and experience. When I look at the news cycle, I would liken it to sticking a straw in the ocean. There's so much information out there. You kind of don't know where to go with it. And I'm a surgeon, I'm a plastic surgeon, and I run a busy practice and I operate 3 to 4 days a week. So I have to get up really early in the morning to do my prep. And sometimes I'm just too exhausted. So I don't have the time to put into the research, but I try to do my research when I have free time during the day. So when I was going through all the articles that I had pulled and looking through everything, I realized, you know, I'm sticking a straw in the ocean. How do I distill this down and come up with something that might provide some type of benefit for anyone that's listening? I mean, my intentions are good. And when I was thinking about, well, I have good intentions, then I thought about, well, it basically could be the platform of the Democrat Party. Good intentions. Of course, they would have to add to that disastrous outcomes, because it seems every liberal progressive intention sounds good, but if you carry it through to its obvious conclusion, it's always a disastrous outcome. A great article in Town Hall written yesterday by Dennis Prager, The Equation That Explains Evil. Now, I know people don't like to get into all this good and evil. We don't want absolute truth. We would just like moral relativism. We just like to say things are okay. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Well, I'm not that kind of doctor. My job is to tell the truth. And if your feelings get hurt, so be it. I mean, I'll get on a steamroller and lay your feelings right out in front of me and crush them. If the truth is the truth and it hurts you, maybe you'll grow from it. Maybe you won't, but I'm not going to be accused of not telling the truth. So Dennis Prager is one of those folks as well, and he comes out and says, our age loves scientific equations. Here's one you weren't taught at college, but which affects you as much as the law of gravity. GI minus W equals E, which is good intentions, minus wisdom leads to evil. You weren't taught this rule at college because the modern universities believe only science has rules. Rules of life is another term for wisdom, and there is no wisdom or even pursuit of wisdom at our universities.
Did you hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, and just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
Yeah, and I went to college for over 7 years, or educated for over 7 years, and that's why I'm a doctor. But now our students at the universities are going to school for a long time. They're coming out with degrees in, you know, women's studies and mating habits of salamanders, or I don't know what they're studying, but they're not a lot of great degrees coming out from the masses of universities that take a lot of government money and charge these students a fortune, and they get in debt, and then they come out less educated. But they could get more education right now from just reading this article by Dennis Prager, because it goes on to say, life has rules, just like the natural sciences do. Examples include, ingratitude makes happiness impossible. Think about that. Corrupt people think everyone else is also as corrupt as they are. Think about that when you look at the news cycle. Human nature is not basically good. Feelings are far less important than actions. Most men need a woman to mature. Most women need a man to mature. That probably lights a few people's hair on fire. The list is long, and the more life rules people know and live by, the better people they'll be. The better this world will be. It's the reason Jordan Peterson's book, 12 Rules for Life, has sold millions of copies, mostly to young people. It's the same reason PragerU has 1 billion views a year, mostly among young people under 35. Many young people are sensing they have been cheated by the adults that have taught them, for example, to pursue self-esteem rather than self-control. And we talk about that a lot on this podcast. He says, a rule guaranteed to lead to moral and professional failure. Because if you pursue your own self-esteem, you're never going to get there. You may have all the best intentions, but you're going to have a disastrous outcome. But the Democrats know that. They don't want you to pursue self-control. They don't want you to pursue delayed gratification. They don't want you to pursue something that will build a foundation that will give you success in life. And that with that foundation and success will come independence. Independence from your parents. Independence from government. And that independence is freedom. And the liberal elite, the Democrat Party, the far left doesn't want you to experience freedom, because if you experience freedom, then they don't have any means to control you so that they can keep and maintain power. You see, the Democrat field is trying to please everyone. They have electability boiled down to a simple equation. Show me the money.
Show me the money. I need to feel you, Jerry. Show me the money. Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
The problem is, it's not their money, it's other people's money. They're taking the product of people's labor and redistributing it to other folks. They're redistributing it to some people that aren't even citizens in this country. William Pitt, in a speech to the House of Commons, November 18, 1783, said, "Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves." Think about that. Needing something, necessity. They're telling us we need to have open borders. We need to be more compassionate. We need to provide Medicare for all. We need to pay off school debt. We need a guaranteed income. We need a guaranteed minimum wage. And William Pitt says that necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom, meaning it takes human freedom and slaps the cuffs on it. It takes freedom, it puts it behind your back, and it cuffs it. It arrests freedom at that moment. It is the argument of tyrants. Well, it's the argument of the Democrat Party, so I would guess the Democrat Party, the liberal left, are tyrants. But it is also the creed of slaves, so those people voting for those folks are asking for their own enslavement. They don't yearn to be free. They yearn to be taken care of. I mean, to boil it down to its simple, most basic parts, when the government takes care of us, they're enslaving us. I mean, the slaves that lived on plantations back 200 plus years ago were taken care of by their owners, but they were still slaves. The owners had to provide for their food. The owners had to provide for their shelter, but they were slaves, and it was horrific. So why is the party that says they are for the minority groups, for the special interest groups, trying to enslave us? Well, it's simple. They want to keep and maintain power. And one of the ways they want to do that is by enslaving us, by promising us more free stuff. Lots of good intentions, just they'll lead to disastrous outcomes. And the irony is, it's starting to be recognized even from people inside their own party. Rahm Emanuel was interviewed on this past weekend, and I'm not a big fan of Rahm Emanuel, but the guy's not stupid. He's a terrible mayor, but he's a good politician. And he had this to say about Medicare for All.
That's separate from the question, though, is, are those ideas that she's putting out there, are they taking the Democrats out of the center?
Mm-hmm. Well, they are. I mean, there's no question about that. They are taking the Democrats out of the center, and that's going to be the bigger problem. That is going to be why it's ultimately, in my view, going to come down to Biden and Warren.
That's George Stephanopoulos, and there's a round table there. And first, you're hearing Chris Christie talk. And Chris Christie's going to get in there and he's going to take everything because this is going to take them out of the, yeah, he put down his sandwich long enough to go on this show and talk. So let's listen to Christie and then you'll get to Emmanuel. Go.
Ability versus, you know, purity. And that happens in the Republican side all the time too, George.
Well, hold on, Chris. Electability versus purity. It happens all the time. No, it only happens to people that don't understand the founding, that don't have, that are not grounded in principle, but that just look at everyone as what they can promise to get them elected. But we'll get through you, Chris. Go.
We're out of power. That happens all the time, too.
The risk you said, which is appropriate and it measures up, is healthcare is a single issue that Democrats have a 35-point advantage on. President Trump is trying to do everything he can to narrow that down.
Now, I will tell you, hold on just a second. Emmanuel's saying that healthcare is Democrats have a 35-point advantage on. He has to say that because his brother is one of the architects of Obamacare. So he has to stand up the straw man that Obamacare is working. Well, compared to Medicare for All, Obamacare is gold plate healthcare. The problem is, compared to our previous healthcare system, Obamacare is crap. And the American people are still remember that Obamacare is crap. But he has to prop that up. But he's not a fan of Medicare for All. Continue.
We've taken a position so far, and the candidates have, through the process, a few have not, about on basically Medicare for All, which is we're going to eliminate 150 million people's health care, and we're going to provide health care for people that just come over the border. That is an untenable position for the general election. As you know, George, I just biked around Lake Michigan. Nearly 1,000 miles.
Oh, hold on just a second. I'd just like to make a comment. Rahm Emanuel just biked around Lake Michigan, nearly 1,000 miles. Chris Christie, I saw him sitting there with Rahm Emanuel. He didn't bike 12 steps or 12 feet around Lake Michigan. I just decided to continue.
Nearly 1,000 miles through Michigan and Wisconsin, two really important states. Nobody at a diner ran at me and said, take my health care away. Nobody. This is reckless as it relates to, and you don't have to take the position to win the primary, and you're basically literally hindering yourself for the general.
See, the Democrats are stuck right now. Rahm Emanuel said it really succinctly. You know, people don't want to lose their health care, especially they don't want to lose their health care and then provide it for people that aren't even American citizens. But see, they have to get nominated before they can get into the election. They need their party's nomination. Go back to that quote by William Pitt, necessity is the plea for infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants, but the creed of slaves. See, the creed of the slaves on the Democrat plantation, and that's all the Democrat voters that want to be enslaved by their ideals, that creed is that we want Medicare for all. But the problem is the country in general doesn't want that, and it's a disaster. And this is a Democrat strategist saying it's untenable for the general election. So that's putting the Democrats in a tight position, because on one instance, they got to promise the red meat for their base. Their red meat being tyranny, their red meat being free stuff for everyone, great intentions, disastrous outcomes. And on the other hand, they got to get elected by the general populace, which is looking like a near impossibility. However, they do have mainstream media and big tech on their side. Sunday night on Mark Levin's Life, Liberty, and Levin, Mark interviewed a gentleman named Dr. Robert Epstein. This guy testified that Google's search engine had a manipulation effect that likely swung 2.6 million votes to Hillary Clinton in 2016. And I believe when Mark was interviewing him, he also said that it swung about 800,000 votes in 2018. I mean, apparently we've decided that leftist corporations can, almost without consequences, decide what our speech standards should be. They can get in there and push aside all rationale for moral behavior, all rationale for a fair playing field, and just for their good intentions, they're going to make sure that they manipulate outcomes by posting and allowing search engines only to show what they want you to see. That's the way these bad idea fairies can get elected in a general election, is because people don't know what's going on. They can infringe on their freedom by not letting them know how they're going to do it. And they do it with the mainstream media. And we've talked about that, that Praetorian Guard that locks shields like in the movie 300. They just sit there and lock shields one against another. Of course, they have big tech, as in Google, coming right behind them to make sure that nothing slips out that they don't want the American people to see. Another way they do it is by creating faux truth or pseudo events, as Mark Levin talks about in his book on freedom of the press. And recently they tried again, the mainstream media. CNN reported the other day, although it was immediately denounced later by the CIA, the CNN reported that exclusive U.S. extracted top spy from inside Russia in 2017. In a previously undisclosed secret mission in 2017, the United States successfully extracted from Russia one of its highest level covert sources inside the Russian government, multiple Trump administration's officials with direct knowledge told CNN. Okay, there's so much wrong with this article, I don't even know where to begin. Number one, if this guy was such a high intelligence asset, very few people would know. It would be a limited access, a compartmentalized access to this gentleman's position. And if that was the case, no one would know that he was extracted, or very few. And if it ever leaked out, then they would be able to create a certain list to go down and figure out who leaked it. CNN doesn't give any attribution, just, you know, the nebulous faces. Now, why would we doubt CNN? I mean, they've never lied to us before, Russian collusion. They would never lie to us before, obstruction of justice. I mean, they just don't know how to lie to us. They hire people that actually got fired for lying, Andrew McCabe. No, CNN's not a trusted news network, so, you know, we can discount that, but it's bizarre that they just want to keep throwing this out to the American people. And of course, if CNN's going to talk about the CIA, there's no one better than to jump out in front of that than the detestable, the bloated, the pathetic John Brennan. John Brennan loves to go on major news networks. And a few months ago, he was out there beating on our president, saying that he could shut down the CIA. And he actually had this to say to Chris Matthews on Hardball.
He has no appreciation for the importance of the intelligence profession and the work that intelligence professionals do around the globe, to include going out and trying to recruit individuals to provide us the insights we need to keep our country strong and safe. So by saying it never would have happened under his watch, and again, I'm not going to talk about whether or not an individual was a source or not of the CIA, but rest assured, Americans, that CIA officers around this globe are trying to get close to those people that are going to provide us the insights, the information, the secrets that we need.
Wait, hold on, John. They're going to try to get about, he keeps breathing heavily. I don't know if it's Pickwickian because the guy's just maybe overweight, or he just has to get out there and talk about this and rest assure people that, Brennan, we're going to get to you, buddy. We're going to get to you, but let's just go to your comments right now, that they're trying to get close to people that provide insight. Hey, Brennan, did you get close to people that provided insight into the recent suicide bombing in Kabul that killed an American soldier? No, because you would have known it was happening and you didn't. Did you get close to people that would know about Fob Chapman so you wouldn't have the greatest loss of CIA personnel in the history of the country? No, you didn't. There's been multiple failures in the Central Intelligence Agency, but hey, there's nothing to see here because he's getting out in front of the story, making Americans rest assured that the CIA is doing their job. Evidence isn't really showing that much, but they always say, hey, there's things we're doing that you don't know about. Unfortunately, in this day and age, it seems like everything the intelligence agency do, we find about. We hear about, but continue on. Let's listen to what Brennan has to say.
The secrets that we need.
You think he would call the CIA, the agency, and say, call off the agents, call off any recruitment of agents so he can protect his friend, the North Korean?
This was the one that preceded the current Trump's going to out someone. This is talking back then. They tried this once before, and that's why I'm playing this clip, that he was going to out someone to the North Korean dictator. Now they say Trump's going to out someone, or they're saying that he would have outed someone to Russia. You see, it's easy to say what people would have done. You can always cast out the straw man and say, well, this could have happened. I mean, Brennan, you could have been a communist. Oh, I'm sorry. You were a communist. You could have voted for the Communist Party candidate. Oh, you did vote for the Communist Party candidate. Brennan, you could be a Muslim. Oh, you are a Muslim. You converted, from my understanding, to become a Shia while you were in Saudi Arabia, which is predominantly Sunni, shows what an idiot you are. I mean, Brennan, there's very few words that can sum up my contempt for you.
I'm like the king of the dipshits.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. But let's continue. What did you have to say? What did you have to say to get out in front and create the straw man to go after our president?
Korean dictator? Would he actually do that?
Well, I wouldn't put it past him to try to prevent the intelligence agency from understanding what might be happening if he felt that that was going to be harmful to his policy or personal interests or objectives. And that's why I'm very concerned about the upcoming presidential election. It's clear that the Russians interfered to help Mr. Trump in 2016.
It's not clear that the Russians interfered to help Trump in 2016, you chucklehead. It's clear that they didn't help Trump in 2016. You know what is clear, though, John Brennan? It's clear that you lied to Congress. It's clear that James Clapper lied to Congress. It's clear that 16 or 17 people at the top echelon of the Federal Bureau of Investigation have been fired or resigned because they spy, because of all the spying controversy on the president. And you know what's becoming abundantly clear is that you have a lot to answer for. But just keep talking, okay? I mean, just keep talking. You're just such an idiot.
Here to help Mr. Trump in 2016. Is Mr. Trump turning a blind eye to that because he doesn't mind if the Russians involve themselves again to try to enhance his prospects for re-election? It's really quite unnerving to think that this president, Mr. Trump, can in fact turn off law enforcement and intelligence capabilities if they pose a threat to him.
I mean, think about that last line he just said. Mr. Trump can, in fact, turn off law enforcement intelligent capabilities if they pose a threat to him personally. Now, John, they just spied on our president. There was a 2-year investigation, and did he turn them off? I mean, they were attacking him personally. They were attacking his wife personally. They were attacking his sons personally. They were attacking his administration personally. However, did he turn anything off? No. You're just a failed carbon footprint, John Brennan. You once said Trump was drunk on power. You're the core reactor of incompetence. You were an incompetent CIA director. You were an incompetent CIA analyst. And anyone inside that building, my understanding, thinks you're an absolute fool. But you know what? You just can't stop. You can't help yourself. Because during a recent speech at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, you described, and this is in the past, you know, like back when you were becoming CIA director, you describe violent extremists as victims of political, economic, and social forces. That's how you, the director of the CIA, described violent extremists as victims. You added that those who plot violence against the United States should not be described in religious terms, i.e. Islamists. Do you remember that? That, you know, we put you, and I say we, the United States, President Obama appointed you to the director of the CIA. And you said, quote, jihadists or Islamists. You don't say that. You said, don't describe our enemy as jihadists or Islamists, because jihad is a holy struggle, a legitimate tenet of Islam. That used to be a clip out there on the internet. It somehow disappeared. I wonder how that was, because Google doesn't influence anything, right? No. The real takeaway here is you're a failed person. You don't believe this country's great. You were appointed by a president that through his actions clear and speech clearly didn't believe this country was great. Yet you're out there still today given a public platform by NBC to beat on our president while he continues to make this country great again, while he continues to do wonderful on foreign policy with little chihuahuas like yourself nipping at his heels, although you're so bloated, I doubt you could bark. You'd be like, arr, arr, arr. I mean, you can't even breathe, Brennan. You can barely talk. At least your mind's not encumbered by anything like intelligence to keep you from saying what you feel like you need to say. I mean, Brennan, you were a big part of that Mueller investigation, weren't you? But the real takeaway from the Mueller, whatever you want to call an investigation, is that Washington has a lot of foreign influencers. It just wasn't the Trump campaign. They weren't in there. Or maybe they were in Hillary's homebrew server and Hillary's campaign, but they're pretty much everywhere else. I mean, if you look back at the article in Free Beacon, which talked about China mining intelligence from an estimated 23 million records of American federal workers, including intelligence and security personnel, that were stolen in a cyber attack against the Office of Personnel Management with the end view of subverting it. I mean, the OPM hack, the Office of Personnel Management hack, was one of the worst disasters in the history of the intelligence community, but you didn't talk a lot about that, did you? No. I mean, the first official confirmation that China's government carried out those hacks was made by the White House National Security Advisor John Bolton in September. The office is the repository of federal government personnel records, including Social Security numbers, documents, and intelligence profiles that people put forward their information for security clearances. But in 2015, the Washington Post reported that government was sending notifications to journalists who may have had access to federal buildings to alert them to their personal information could have been compromised. That was back in 2015. I wonder who the... Oh, yeah, that you were the director of Central Intelligence back then. But you didn't talk about that, did you? You know, to make matters worse, it seems like the Office of Personnel Management maintained unsecured and unencrypted database for security clearances. Which makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Not even. I mean, you don't confirm or deny anything, do you, Brennan? And evidently, your boss, President Obama, and the people that he appointed didn't either. But you see, they were incompetent, like you. I mean, there was no one or very few people in Obama's inner circle that were competent, and I would probably say no one. Catherine Archuleta, the director of Office of Personnel Management, probably wasn't up to the job when Obama appointed her. I mean, she was the national political director for his 2012 reelection campaign, and prior to that, she'd been executive director of the National Hispanic Cultural Center Foundation in New Mexico, and she co-founded the Latina Initiative. She'd also worked at a Denver law firm. But you know what? None of that got her ready for the Chinese that hacked our databases because it was unencrypted and unsecured. But that was a position she had. You see, the Mueller investigation underscored the need to convert as many of the vulnerable problems in our government as possible, to convert them from inexperienced people that were put in for political reasons to people that are experienced, that are put in with mission-oriented reasons to keep our nation safe. Because the American people right now don't trust government. And you can lay a lot of that right at the feet of Obama, right at the place where the feet would be in the empty suit of President Obama. I mean, you were there, right, Brennan? With the intelligence disasters like Snowden, WikiLeaks, Manning, the CIA network roll-up in China. Oh, yeah, that was an actual roll-up of a network in China, Brennan. Not the perceived, let's get the guy out in time for Trump. And Russia roll-up. I mean, there was a combined plethora of disasters, what we now know about the lobbying by foreign governments. I mean, you do remember Benghazi and the absolute failure and the burning of the failure and getting our guys out of there and the burning of the U.S. diplomatic station there. Oh, not to mention the cover-up. And then you guys circle the wagons together with all the good intentions, right, to go after our president and spy on him. You see, no one trusts you, John Brennan, and no one trusts the people that are being paraded out from the prior administration, telling the American people, hey, we have the best intentions. We're going to do the right things for you, because they only have disastrous outcomes to show for their actions. And the American people are on to you. You see, we've had 2 years, almost 3 years now, of a president that has put this nation first and not his ideology. Of a president that, while not perfect, loves this country and is moving against the strongest headwinds of any president that I can think of in the history of our country. And I've done a lot of research on this. because he not only has an opposition party, but he has opposition within his own party and within an establishment that thinks that they need to keep and maintain power or the swamp will dry up and, God forbid, freedom would rise up and this nation would be safer and more prosperous. And with a prosperous, safe nation, people feel free. And when people feel free, they don't need a government to tell them what to do. They don't need people pushing them down because they're lifting themselves up and everyone around them. So, John Brennan, pay attention to history. Nah, I can't say that. That'd be like speaking to a stupid person expecting him to understand something. But I know the American people are paying attention to history, and that's why we have President Trump. And I pray they will continue to pay attention to history, ignore the media whitewash and all the good intentions so that we can have a great outcome by electing President Trump for another 4 years. We're really excited to have a new sponsor on the scalpel, Z-Bones Headphones. Z-Phones, or what we call bone phones, are a platform that provides everyone with a simplified way to listen to the podcast, to music, to talk on your phone without having to stick an earpiece into your ear. This is done by innovative technology that allows you to achieve clear sound while still being able to hear your environment around you. As a surgeon, when I operate, I usually have Bluetooth headset so that I can hear if someone calls me, if I need to say something, or if I wanted to listen to music, and not everyone in the room wants to listen to the same music. But the problem is, when you have something in your ear, you can't really hear everyone talking around you. With these Z-Bones, I can put my headset on, but they don't cover my ears. It's transmitted through the bone, and it's really cool. You get hands-free calling and answering. You can listen to music. They're lightweight. They're flexible. They fit on your head, and they don't hang down. You don't see wires hanging down, and it's real important when you're in surgery not to have something like hanging down in your gown. The open-ear bone phone design protects your eardrums while keeping your ears open and listening. It also doesn't allow wax buildup in your ears because you're not shoving a plug in your ear every time. I also, even though I'm a physician, I like to go out to the gun range and shoot a little bit. And it's nice to be able to listen to music while I'm shooting and still be able to put on my ear pro, my ear protection, and I'm not shoving a plug deeper into my ear so I can listen to music or talk on my phone while I'm out at the range. You get 6 hours of continuous calling, you get a 2-hour recharge rate, and it has almost 7 days of standby time. It's a Bluetooth wireless transmission, it has quality sound and performance, and it just works great. I love this. I love new things that work, and these are super cool. And the good thing is, they're not expensive. So go to zbones.io, that's ZBONES.io, and put in the code SCALPEL70 to receive an additional 10% off. Check them out today. Instead of just running through the airport, going in and grabbing a cheap set of earphones that would cost more than these Z-Bones would because you forgot to bring yours, go get some Z-Bones. They fit to your head. They don't look silly. In fact, if you're wearing a hat, you can hardly see them. So go get some Z-Bones today. Check them out. And don't forget to put SCALPEL70 in to get a 10% discount. Z-Bones. Bone phones changing the way you hear the world. This is Dr. Keith Rosen with Knives. Today, we're talking about good intentions, disastrous outcomes. I mean, the Democrat Party has all the good intentions, right? The only problem is their policies have disastrous outcomes. Yet they continue to push them anyway. One of those disastrous policies is gun control. And gun control, I don't think, has ever worked in this country, nor will it work, because we have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Now, we've had quote-unquote assault weapon bans in the past, and that's shown not to make anyone safer as far as mass shootings and things like that, because most mass shootings are done with pistols. See, we don't need gun control. We need criminal control. But the irony is the Democrats don't want to deal with the actual core root of the problem. No, they just want to deal with the crisis. You see, if they have a crisis, then they can provide a political solution to resolve that conflict. But they can only do so at the cost of a crisis. So when the media can't make up any crisis, they have to, and when they can't cut them out of whole cloth, they just have to look out in the news cycle and see if something happens. And if something happens, they can create a crisis around that. And we do that time and time again. The only problem is for the Democrats that the American people are starting to pay closer and closer attention to what the, quote, crisis is. I mean, we're talking about gun control right now, and everyone wants to know, well, why are we talking about that? Why would we want to take guns from American people? Because most of the gun crime is in, quote, gun-free zones. Most of the shootings of the masses is in places where it's illegal to have guns, you know, like Chicago, Baltimore, Mexico, some of the places with the most draconian gun rules have the worst, I mean, the worst crime problems. I was talking to my friend who's visiting from Pakistan, and we were talking. He's noticing down in Texas, he says, there's a lot of gun stores here. And I said, yes, there are. And he goes, so you people can have guns down here? And I said, absolutely. He goes, that's a good thing. Now, remind you, this man's from Pakistan. He lives in Peshawar, which is a large city in the frontier area right there near the border of Afghanistan. And he said, it's a good thing. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when I go to Karachi, he said, Karachi is full of crime. Lots of street crime, lots of crime in Karachi. He says, because they're not allowed to have guns there. He said, you would never see this crime in Peshawar. And I said, why? He goes, because people have guns. Everyone knows they have guns. No one's going to commit a crime when they know someone might have a gun. I mean, someone from another country sees this play out. My wife has seen this play out in her home country of Mexico, where they have strict gun laws and only the criminals have guns. And then they subjugate not only the regular people, but the police, at times the military, and the politicians. But an interesting article I found the other day was George Soros is lobbying lawmakers to take our guns away. And I thought, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, why would someone, and that would be foreign influence, right? I mean, you have someone like George Soros lobbying to take our guns away. But this article, authored by Max Slavo in Zero Hedge, says there's no other way to say it. Politicians and the elitists are coming for your guns. If they can get them from you and convince you to turn them over willingly, they will do so with propaganda. But don't expect it to end there. Isn't it ironic? In order to take away guns from nonviolent people, violent people must use guns to do so. It's hard to believe this escapes the minds of far too many people on this earth. Soros and people in the ruling class certainly want all control in every situation. It's much easier to enslave an unarmed populace. This goes on to talk about an article from Free Beacon saying Soros advocacy organizations are lobbying lawmakers on Capitol Hill to repeal the act protecting firearm manufacturers from liability from gun crimes. This is a backdoor way that they want to get to our guns. You see, you have big lobbying groups financed by Soros front groups, and they're going after lawmakers saying, you know what? You better do something. So they're trying to make gun manufacturers liable. And then what we all know the end result of that is you just won't have any people manufacturing guns. And then you have chuckleheads like this Senator Braun, a GOP senator who should be embarrassed, coming out saying if we don't pass common sense legislation, there will be legislation and we may not be have control of it. Senator Braun, what do you mean common sense legislation? How about common sense living up to the oath that you swore to the Constitution? You know, that whole Second Amendment thing that we hold so dear in this nation. What about paying attention to the fact that more people die in swimming pool accidents? More people die from CAFE standards. That's the fuel efficiency in cars where they make cars lighter. So more people die in car accidents than ever before. Why doesn't anyone talk about that? No, let's just talk about guns. Because you see, you have to take away guns to maintain control of the populace. And our founders knew this. They understood this. Patrick Henry said in a speech to the Virginia Convention, which was a Virginia ratifying convention, on June 5th, 1778, guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are ruined. The great object is that every man be armed. Everyone who is able might have a gun. What Patrick Henry's saying here is, people will try to take your liberty. And the only way they're going to do it ultimately is not with propaganda, but with force. And they can't do it if everyone is armed. Alexander Hamilton said in Federalist Number 25 in 1787, "For it is a truth which the experience of ages has attested, that the people are always most in danger when the means of injuring their rights are in the possession of those of whom they entertain the least suspicion." You know, the ones that want to do things for you. What he's saying here is he's saying you got to be careful, because down through the ages, the people that are in the most danger of losing their freedom are when they trust someone, the least suspicion they have of the people, because those people have good intentions. But history has shown us they have disastrous outcomes. I mean, these same disastrous outcomes have been shown time and time again in history. I mean, look at Mexico, take away the guns, disastrous outcome. Look at Venezuela, take away the guns, disastrous outcome. Look at Hong Kong. I read an article several shows back about the strict gun control in Hong Kong. Now, it's a disastrous outcome potentially, because tyrants can keep and maintain power if the populace have no ability to defend themselves. And our founders knew this. I mean, the same people that want to take our guns also want to tax us more. Article in PJ Media by Rick Moran, $500,000 to study the mating calls of frogs, your tax dollars at work. How do I get from guns to frogs? Well, I'm going to show you. You see, the same people that want to take your guns are making these type of decisions, where an LA school district got $158 million in school lunch money to buy lawn sprinklers and pay the salaries of employees at a district TV station, or $250,000 to teach Pakistani kids English at Space Camp in Dollywood. We also gave out $500,000 of our tax dollars to National Science Foundation to see if taking selfies makes you feel happier. I'm running out of duct tape here for my head. $450,000 for National Science Foundation to develop a climate change video game. $29 million we've lost in heavy equipment in Afghanistan. Almost $500,000 to study frog mating calls. See, that's what happens when you let a federal government spend $4 trillion, because no one's keeping track of it all. No one's paying attention to the fine details. I mean, most of our politicians don't have the bandwidth to dress themselves in the morning, much less keep track of a $4 trillion budget. And that's why they're easily influenced by lobbyists, by front groups for Soros. And these same guys that spend money on nothing are willing to give away for free your freedoms in the form of increased gun legislation. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of pushback from the Republicans right now. And they need to grow a spine. They need to pay attention to history and experience and not CNN and MSNBC. Pay attention to our president, because he's moving forward. Our president is actually getting things done despite everyone attacking him. Article in Washington Examiner says Mexico boosts deportation of migrants heading to U.S. by 63%. You see, over the past three weeks to 3 months, we've had a decrease in open borders. And Mexico's responsible for that. You know why? Because of the foreign policy of our president. He got involved. And now Mexico's getting involved in this crisis. But you're not going to hear that by most of the mainstream media, by most of the news outlets. No, what you're going to hear is, hey, Joe Biden. Now, I will tell you, there will probably be a national shortage on white paint pretty soon, because they cannot continue to whitewash Biden's gaffes. I mean, Biden was gaffing once a day. He's pretty much gaffing once a minute now. And American Greatness wrote an article 3 days ago in American Greatness by Victor Davis Hanson, "Biden or bust. For better or worse, the Democrat establishment has decided it has no choice but to embrace the former vice president. Can he be propped up and pampered for the next 14 months? Pundits and politicos play the current parlor game of counting Joe Biden's daily bloopers, signs of debility or embarrassments." Article goes on to talk about, rightly or wrongly, they believe it is for now either a gaffaholic Biden or a socialist bust, and Democrats seem to prefer random senselessness to premeditated lunacy. So we have random senselessness in Joe Biden. Now, why would the Democrat establishment want to run a Joe Biden when he is clearly showing early signs of dementia. And he has made gaffe after gaffe, and that's one of the reasons that he's never, ever made it to the presidency. In fact, I questioned Barack Obama's sanity by picking him as vice president. But what Joe Biden has that the establishment needs is he is not a control risk, meaning they can control him. The lobbyists know they can control him. The politicians that move behind the scenes know they can control him. And so as long as they can control Joe Biden, he'll remain the front runner. Although sitting bullcrap, Elizabeth Warren's trying to make a push, but most Americans they know don't want rampant socialism. They don't trust the political elite giving us good intentions because they've seen the disastrous outcomes in Venezuela and other countries that have instituted socialism. Now, the president that wanted to give us socialism, that wanted to fundamentally change this country, you know, the one that says when they go low, we go high, was President Obama. Although President Obama was, they tried to reach him for comment, but he can't be reached now because he's in the middle of a trademark dispute. You see, Obama, and this is from Town Hall, the Obamas are being accused of really deplorable behavior for attempting to cancel the trademark registration for a company that has a similar name to the couple's movie company, Higher Ground Productions. You see, The Obamas and their attorneys are going after the trademark rights of Higher Ground Enterprises. You know, this is a company that was there before President Obama had his company. So instead of backing down and saying, you know, we recognize that Higher Ground Enterprises trademark is acceptable and was there. Now, the Obamas mounted a challenge and filed a petition to cancel the Higher Ground Enterprises trademark, claiming it was not in use at the time of 2016. Now, I have several patents, and I can tell you, it doesn't matter whether they're being used or not. It doesn't matter whether the trademark's being used or not. If they have it and they've used it, they still have the right to it. But the Obamas don't care because, you see, when they say, when you go hot, low, we go high, that's just good intentions. It's not the actual outcome you're going to see. And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing a lot of good intentions, but we're seeing disastrous outcomes. You're seeing it with guns. The irony is President Trump got ASAP or A money sign AP Rocky, that guy that was in Sweden. He got him back to the United States. But a little article came out the other day that talked about his lawyer, a Swedish lawyer, just got shot in the head, which is kind of, it's really tragic. But the other thing is he got shot in the head in Sweden, and Sweden has some of the most stringent gun laws in the world. And if you go to the Swedish the country's website, they say that they have stringent gun laws because guns are capable of harmful and fatal consequences. You see, even with strict gun laws, people are going to commit crimes. They're just 6 degrees of separation away from the next, you know, cause and effect out there. But I pray the American people are paying attention. I pray the American people are looking at this going, you know what? We see all these unicorn promises. We see all these good intentions. But history has shown us that these good intentions often come with disastrous outcomes. You see, we don't need government to make us stronger. We don't need government to make us better. We don't need government to give us anything. The only thing we need as American people is the government to get out of the way so that we can lift ourselves up through our faith, through our principles, through our hard work, and we can keep the product of our labor, invest it, keep it on property, create jobs for other people. We don't need government washing money, sending it out there to the poor. We don't need government creating jobs. We do that. We need a smaller government. As a physician, I put a lot of people on a diet. And I think as American people, we need to put this government on a diet. And I think the head dietitian, President Trump, is coming to that conclusion. And if he gets another 4 years, I think we're going to see significant weight loss in a bloated bureaucracy. I appreciate you spending some time with Knives and I today. Have a great day. Go out there and keep freedom rolling.